Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, join me, Rob McConnell, as together we'll investigate the world of the paranormal and the science of parapsychology here on the X-Zone Radio TV show on XZBN and the X-Zone TV channel on Simul TV. Since 1990, the X-Zone Radio TV show has been the place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. Together, we'll investigate UFOs, aliens, ghosts, Bigfoot, psychic phenomenon, lake monsters, conspiracy theories, government cover-ups, the truth embargo, alien abductions, ESP, haunted locations from around the world, and so much more. With over 28 years of broadcasting and more than 4,500 individual guests, the X-Zone is truly a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality, as evidenced by the credibility, integrity, and professionalism of the guests that we bring to our international audience. If you have seen a UFO, had a close encounter, seen a ghost, Bigfoot, lake monster, or a story that you would like to share or have investigated, contact me, Rob McConnell, by sending me your email to xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, or you can call toll-free 1-800-610-7035, extension 143, and on Skype, X-Zone Radio TV. For more information on the X-Zone Radio TV show with yours truly, Rob McConnell, visit www.xzoneradiotv.com or www.xzonetvchannel.com or simultv.com and xzbn.net. Until next we meet here in the X-Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, always remember, X-Zone Nation, keep your eyes to the sky and your heart in the light.
Welcome to another edition of Cal's Corner Radio here on the X-Zone Broadcast Network. My name is Cal Corfin. I'm your host, and the executive producer of the show is the one and only Rob McConnell. As I say pretty much at the beginning of every episode, because it's true, the purpose of this radio show at Cal's Corner here is to cover everything from politics to the paranormal. While that does not mean that we have time to do that in every episode, we have finite time, of course, and it's infinite subjects we can cover, that's the point of the show. From politics to the paranormal is literally an infinite number, per se, of subjects. So today we're going to talk about things which impact all of us, whether we're aware of them or not, or care about them or not. I want to start off with a quick update regarding what's been going on in Israel lately and the problems in Gaza over there, specifically the hundreds of rockets that have been launched against the Jewish state by the terrorist group Palestinian Islamic Jihad, as well as Hamas. Now, typically, Hamas launches rockets against the Jewish state of Israel, and yes, it is the Jewish state of Israel. Israel is the home of the Jewish people. That is the reason that Israel exists. Now, for those of you who hate Israel, hate Jews or whatever, or think that there should be no Israel, or it shouldn't be a Jewish state, it should be a tri-state, I guess, one for Christians, one for Muslims, one for Jews, call it whatever, I don't know, hybrid the names of those religions, anything but for Jews, right? Well, it just doesn't make any sense, because look at any other country, pretty much. Germany is for Germans. That's the reason Germany exists. Now, France, gee, that's for French people. Italy, that's for Italian people. Indians, that's for Indian people, as in, you know, India, the country next to Pakistan, which is for Pakistani people, which is next to Afghanistan, which is for the Afghani people, which is next to Iran, which is for the Iranian people, and for the Iraqis, which is the Iraqi people, which is, of course, near Egypt, which is for the Egyptian people. But hey, we can't have Israel for the Jewish people. Maybe Israel needs to change their name to the Israeli people. Would that please the other nations or the nations that hate them, which tend to be exclusively Muslim? Who knows? The logic doesn't make sense. Now, there are plenty of Arabs and Jew haters who will say, well, I support a two-state solution, Israel and Palestine living side by side in peace. You know, that would be great if they really were sincere. But they aren't sincere. And history has proven that they are just liars and frauds. And if anything, they're genocidal killers. We must remember that the people who started the wars by trying to exterminate Israel's existence at its birth after the agreed upon UN partition that they first agreed on, but then reneged on, and then five Arab armies invade the Jewish state, try to exterminate it, they lose, and they've been sore losers ever since. They've started all the wars, and they're still claiming to be victims. This is the only part of the world where up means down and yes means no. It is entirely ridiculous. And let me use a real example here. Imagine that Hamas, the terrorist group, said to you, living wherever you are listening to this broadcast, let's say you're an American, you live in the USA, and Hamas is on the other side of the border in Mexico, or let's say you live in Nevada and they're in California, and they're lobbing hundreds of rockets at you indiscriminately trying to kill you because they say, a gang of killers, that you have no right to exist. And this world is so sick and turned upside down morally and ethically, humanity-wise, that we take a group of terrorists and we give them some sort of legitimacy. Well, they're not legitimate. They're terrorists. The moment they're terrorists, they have no legitimacy. Now, let's be clear. People will say these are left-wing, la-la, liberals, millennials, whatever, ignorant types, even much of the media, which is disgraceful. And many world leaders, they'll apologize for Hamas and they'll say, you know, they're the government of the Palestinians in Gaza. Well, yes, they are. But see, even that description is a lie. It's not an accident. I admit there are some people who are ignorant that really don't know any better, but certainly the so-called talking heads should know better, but they don't say it, that there's a key word here they miss out, illegitimate government. Now, if it's an illegitimate government, that's kind of like saying, I'm a little bit pregnant. Well, you can't have it both ways. If it's illegitimate, it's not really a government. Illegitimate means what it does, or it means nothing at all. The logic here is beyond obvious. So Hamas is not a legitimate government. It is illegitimate. And that is not going to change until it wins a free and fair election again. And that only happened one time. We must go back in history to these ignorant types that talk about this and make fools of themselves compared to people who know the real history here, that yes, Hamas did win one election, beating Yasser Arafat's Palestinian National Authority, and yes, they won the majority of seats in a unified Palestinian parliament because George Bush and Condoleezza Rice, in their infinite stupidity, thought that if they gave Hamas a little bit of democracy, they'd reform and change. They'd become nice guys. Well, you know, didn't happen. It was kind of predictable. It was a stupid thing to do. But on the other hand, the election was legitimate. Most Palestinians rose up, tired of Arafat's nonsense and lies and corruption. He was doing them more harm than good. So, out of protest and disgust, they voted for Hamas. And Hamas won. Okay, so they're suddenly a legitimate government. You have to deal with them. Only their view of government is different from anybody else, except other terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda, Islamic Jihad. They're similar to Hamas, which are Sunni Muslims, by the way, not Shia Muslims. Now, that would be Hezbollah. They're Shia Muslims. Very different ideology backed by Iran. We'll come back to Iran in a few minutes. So among all of this, some time goes by, and then Arafat dies. And then after he dies, it was predictable that his successor, Abbas, he of course is a joke. He's been a joke. He is in, what, the 12th year of his original four-year term in office. There's no credible replacement for him. He's not a credible leader. He's not a real partner for peace, contrary to the lies that Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and even John Kerry used to say. So now what happens is they rise up, they have a violent clash. Over 600 Palestinian National Authority operatives and soldiers, officials and staff are murdered by Hamas in this internal war. Hamas takes over, Gaza kicks out the Palestinian National Authority. They have to schlep it off to the West Bank. And you have suddenly two Palestines. You have suddenly two governments, both claiming they're legitimate, and neither are legitimate at all. And yet, you wouldn't know that looking at the stupidity that goes on at the UN, the hypocrisy there, where they're always voting to condemn Israel every time it defends itself against rocket launches by a terrorist group. So back to my original example here of what I was saying. Imagine you live where you do. Imagine you live, say, in a state in America, and the neighboring state has a terrorist group who launches rockets against you indiscriminately, trying to kill you because they say, a group of killers say, you have no right to exist. It's our land. Well, Hamas is the military wing of the Muslim Brotherhood. And the Muslim Brotherhood is Egyptian. It's not Palestinian. This is how ignorant some of these Jew haters are. They don't even know that the people leading them around by the nose aren't even really the genuine thing. It's completely ridiculous. Just like most Muslims today and people who support and apologize for the Palestinians and Arafat and go on about what a peacemaker he was and what a terrible thing Israel did, even though it's complete nonsense, they don't realize that his uncle, who radicalized him, raised him, made him who he was, literally was in bed with the Nazis and Adolf Hitler, was Hitler's guest during the war, broadcast Nazi propaganda, participated in the Holocaust, was friends with Himmler, helped design the extermination camps, Auschwitz and Dachau. He had input into those. And he's the one who told Hitler, because he was one of the architects of the Holocaust, that we're not going to allow Jews to settle in Palestine, even though the word Palestine itself isn't a real Arab word. Because the letter P doesn't exist in the Arabic language. This is how stupid people are today. And yes, it's stupid. It's moronic. In fact, I'm insulting morons when I say this now. So, what do you have here when you have a group of people who call themselves Palestinians and say they've always been the owners of this land, going back thousands, if not millions of years, because the Jews are the invaders. The Palestinians are the original inhabitants. That's why it's called Palestine. No, it's called Palestine because the Romans took the name Judea and stripped it from the record book because they conquered the city, duh, hello, and they called it Philistina. And then the English anglicization of it, if you want to call it that, of that word is Palestine. Again, the letter P does not exist in the Arabic language. Okay? Just like vowels don't exist in Hebrew. So this is how ignorant and stupid people are today about this issue. Now we're going to come back after the commercial break here, and we're going to end this on a note about the Palestinians, and I'm going to reveal some things that you can easily verify. But you won't hear this on CNN, or you won't hear Rachel Maddow saying this. We'll come back after this break.
It's hard to listen to the news without realizing we're living in volatile, unprecedented times. Yet never has there been such an opportunity to transform the human condition. As old structures fail, where can we find the guidance to co-create a better way? Find Your Path Home is an ever-evolving, leading-edge information, education, and healing resource center designed to support and guide you on your path to unity and enlightenment. Based on sound principles employed by shaman worldwide, we provide techniques that can support you through the current transitions, offering online shamanic classes, international long-distance shamanic healing sessions, complimentary Mission Evolution radio episodes and Stairway to Heaven TV vignettes, seminars, retreats, and much more. All of this can be found on findyourpathhome.com.
So I was watching the X-Zone TV channel last night when I was abducted by aliens, and they kept repeating to me over and over again, SimulTV.com, SimulTV.com.
What's SimulTV.com?
That's what I asked them. They had it written on the side of their UFO.
How do you spell that?
UFO.
No, I mean SimulTV.com.
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 Right. SimulTV.com.
Interesting that you were abducted by aliens in a SimulTV.com UFO last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I remember now last night, I was awakened from a deep sleep. My great-grandmother was standing there. She said she'd come from the hereafter to tell me about SimulTV.com. She even spelled it out for me.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, you'll never guess what my psychic guru just told me.
SimulTV.com.
Exactly. Are you guys psychic too?
Of course.
We all know about SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com.
Welcome back to the second segment here on Cal's Corner Radio, here on the X Zone Broadcast Network. My name is Cal Korf, and I'm your host. The executive producer of the show is Rob McConnell. As we were discussing in the first segment, the Palestinians, I'm going to end what I have to say about them by simply pointing out reality. And if you've never heard what I'm about to share with you, although I've reported on it many times and published articles over the years because it's factual, this is stuff, again, you're not going to see when you look at most coverage of this issue. Now, the myth, modern day myth today, thanks much in part to the left-wing liberal la-la media, revisionists, millennials, and all that other stuff that's not necessarily positive. A lot of people think today that Israel essentially invaded the land of the Palestinians, essentially imposed themselves on it, and today that's what all the fighting is about. And if Israel would just give up the lands that they took or stole, quote-unquote, then everything would be peaches and cream. There would be a rainbow and chicken in everybody's pot pie and all that other stuff, whatever you want to call it. No, it's not that simple. The fact is that the people in that area, the ones who hate Israel mostly, and we're talking about the terrorists. I'm not talking about people who, yes, their families were displaced when there was wars going on, and it happened on both sides, let's be honest. Who was guilty of what depends on the issue, the incident. There is guilt on all sides. Let's be blunt about it. Nobody has a perfect record in this, but there is a pattern that one can demonstrate. Absolutely. Slam dunk, hands down. It's irrefutable fact, unless you deny reality, that Israel has a far better record in this than the so-called Palestinians, because it's not just about the Palestinians. They're not the actual actors in this. They're just one member of the cast. You've got Iran in there. You used to have Saddam Hussein in there. You used to have Nasser of Egypt in there. You still have Syria in there. Again, with all these people trying to destroy the Jewish state, it's not just the Palestinians. And then, what is a Palestinian? People are so stupid today that they actually think that the Palestinians are a distinctive race or culture. That there really was a country called Palestine. No, there never has been. Even the Romans wouldn't let it be its own country. It ceased to do that when they conquered it and stripped it of its name, Judea. And Titus shipped many of the Jews to Rome as slaves when he didn't kill most of them. But still, there were many of them there. So let me prove very quickly here to anybody who has an IQ of over 10 that what I'm about to tell you destroys completely the idea that the Palestinians are a distinctive race or genre of people. They're not. They're simply Jordanian Arabs. That means from Jordan. That's what Jordanian means. Let me prove it. Now, if the Palestinians always own the land that the Jews today own in Israel, that comprises the state of Israel, and they stole it from the Palestinians, then why is it that there is no ancient Palestinian coinage? It doesn't exist. Can you find a single ancient coin from any Palestinian leader that goes back to any period of time. Let's say 100 years ago. How about 5,000, 10,000 years ago? How about 3,000, 4,000 years ago? Or the time of David in Israel, King David? Or Jesus Christ, for that matter? How many Palestinians were there watching Jesus' crucifixion? The answer is none. How many ancient Palestinian writings are there from the great Palestinian poets, from the great Palestinian philosophers, from the great Palestinian generals and war leaders and historians and orators and statesmen? They don't exist. Where is the Palestinian clothing and textiles and pottery that is unique to the region that indicates a distinct culture in the same way that one can tell the difference between pottery from the Aztecs versus pottery from the Incas versus pottery from the Mayans, even if you didn't know the names of those different distinctive tribes and peoples? That's the key here. You could still tell that this is three very different things. They don't look like they're clones of each other. But it doesn't exist with anything Palestinian. Now, look at languages. Does anybody speak the language Palestinian? No. You will find people speaking, there are more people on earth that, I'm not making this up, that speak the language Klingon-y, that the Klingons speak in Star Trek. This is actually a real language that was invented by a linguist for the series Star Trek. When the movies were done, they had actually created a Klingon language by Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. I know because I used to have the Klingon dictionary when I worked at Apple Aclaris. Aclaris Apple was involved in that movie using their effects, and I bought the Klingon dictionary because I thought it was kind of a joke, but it was actually a real language. Tried to learn it, gave up. Very hard. But I was surprised how much like Czech it sounds, because years later, when I lived in the Czech Republic, I later found out that Czech was used as a model for the Klingon language. Small world. Maybe Klingons abducted a Czech years ago, took her to the Klingon Empire. They had babies. Who knows? Stranger things have happened, right? Anyway, back to reality, which doesn't include much of what is said about the Palestinians, by the way. There is no Palestinian language, because Palestinians really didn't essentially exist until magically in 1967. That's essentially when the Jordanian flag was taken and a star, its sun there, its sunburst on the left, was removed. And suddenly that was the Palestinian flag. A whole new people, a whole new nation, a whole new whatever, make it up. They might as well call themselves Pleiadians. You know, it's just as real. It is just as made up. Now, again, try to find ancient Palestinian coins, archaeological sites, ancient rulers, anything that would have been there from any other civilization which has been around for any length of time. It doesn't exist because it never happened. And yet you wouldn't know that based on the nonsense that is being published today and people talk about today and blame Israel for today. Well, one of the reasons that there is conflict today is because Arafat's Nazi-loving grandfather, and you can see plenty of photos with him, with Hitler and the top Nazis, he helped raise two divisions of the Waffen-SS, which went out and committed genocide against Christians and Jews, and his political enemies, by the way, in Bosnia and the Herzegovina areas of what is today those regions. And, of course, he wiped out political enemies in the area of Palestine, the British-occupied territory. It, again, was never a state, never a country. They could have had a nation called Palestine if they had kept their promise, if they had agreed to the partition. But he wouldn't allow it, because all Jews had to be driven into the sea or be exterminated, and he worked to exterminate them. And he thought he was doing so-called God's work or whatever. Insert your excuse there for whenever anybody commits genocide. And that's the real history of this. And then, of course, Arafat could have agreed to peace when Clinton was president and Ariel Sharon was prime minister of Israel at the time. 96% of what he wanted, including the territories, was agreed to, but he still said no. And we now know that the real reason he said no was pure ego. If he had agreed to peace, he would have had to have stepped down, and he would no longer have been the leader of the Palestinian people.
but he would have at least left office with a so-called maybe another Nobel Peace Prize. So anyway, it didn't happen because at the end of the day, he was not about peace. He was a killing machine. And we now know from Operation Defensive Shield, and this is again a piece of history that I am just shocked still to this day, that even many of my journalistic colleagues remain completely ignorant of. I have told them for years, because it's true, I was covering this in Prague as a journalist. I talked about this on shows back then broadcast on X-Zone from Prague, that Operation Defensive Shield was a raid conducted by Israeli commandos on Arafat's compound. They seized millions of documents, including actual spreadsheets printed and signed by Arafat himself, authorizing payments for suicide bombings, ordering suicide bombings, capturing and releasing terrorists, telling Israel and the West and U.S. and Europe in exchange for money, hey, we're capturing the bad guys. Look at us now. Give us more money. We need more money. Then, of course, once they got the money, releasing them, going ahead and compensating the families when they committed suicide bombings. The actual payment was anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 per son that sacrificed their lives. That was a lot of money. It was equivalent to 3.5 years, maybe as far as 5.5 years worth of survival for a typical family there. That's how impoverished it was. How he controlled, like a mafia kingpin, because he was, the cement monopolies, the licenses for telecoms, rubber, all the choke points, the electrical grid, working with Israel and Egypt to get power into there. Again, this was not a statesman who cared one bit about the Palestinian people. In fact, Arafat himself wasn't even Palestinian. He was Egyptian. He was born in Cairo, and Cairo has never been in Palestine, no matter how radical you think you are. So this whole thing could not be more convoluted, twisted, detached from reality, impossible to believe. If one had written all this up, and this is just a few details, folks, I'm still working on. I haven't finished it. I admit there have been times where I've stopped working. I have other things to do. This essentially a 2,400-odd-page, six-volume series on all this that covers the entire history, because it has to be that long to cover all this. And unless you deal with the details and deal with the root causes of why this stuff is really going on, you're never going to solve anything. Imagine if you never looked at why things happen in the field of medicine or science. You can never cure anything. You can never invent anything, because reality doesn't work that way when you deny it. It always wins. We can't get away from it. All right, we'll be back now for the second half of the show to talk about North Korea and all of the fun stuff going on there and Russia's newfound involvement. We'll be right back.
They are here, and they've been here for thousands of years, making their presence known in the shadows. They might be seen by a lonely motorist on a deserted road late at night, or by a frightened and confused husband in the bedroom he is sharing with his wife. But who are they? What do they want? Why are they here? Perhaps most concerning, has the government been aware of their presence all along? The new book by Elie Marzulli, UFO Disclosure, The 70-Year Cover-Up Exposed, delves into the world of UFOs. Can full disclosure be soon? Order now and receive a free hour and 37-minute DVD on the UFO phenomenon, UFOs Are Real. Get both the book and the DVD, a $40 value, for only $19.99. To order your book and DVD today, go to lamarzulli.net. That's lamarzulli.net.
Rob McConnell here, presenting an overview for Nicholas Paul Jinniks, author of a fascinating book, Amen. It presents facts revealed by Egyptologists, facts that enable us to understand why Amen is the beginning of creation of God. It provides recommendations for religious leaders of the major religions to unify their beliefs and teach the word of God, love one another. Amen informs people how mankind conceived God. It was the Egyptians that developed the concepts of a soul, a hereafter, and son of God, and finally, after the worship of many gods,
they conceived the belief in one universal God, the maker of all there is. For more information, visit www.futureofgodamen.com. That's www.futureofgodamen.com.
You have heard of the X-Zone? Now watch it on Simo TV, plus 500 video games, live TV channels, free video on demand, worldwide, and more. Does this sound like tomorrow's television? Well, it is, but you can have it today, right now. It is Simo TV. Simo TV offers what the others only wish they could provide. 15 exclusive channels like X-Zone, sci-fi, and horror. We are worldwide. No other provider offers that. 500 built-in video games. No need to have an extra expensive system. We have them included. Free video on demand. Live streaming events from around the world. Interactive online network and much more. Tomorrow's TV today. Simo TV. Sound too good to be true? Well, it's not. You can have Simo TV today. Sign up at simultv.com. Do it today.
Welcome back to the third segment here on Cal's Corner Radio Show on the X-Zone Broadcast Network. My name is Cal Korf. I'm your host. The executive producer of the show is Rob McConnell. Now, let's, again, that's enough about the Palestinians. I think I have successfully argued the logic here, at least, that the whole thing is just one big myth and con job. There's no harm in admitting what they really are. The issue remains the same. If they were leprechauns, the issue would remain the same. And as long as one side, which is the Palestinian side, is run by two illegitimate governments who are not partners for peace, ask yourself this question if you feel so sorry for them. Who speaks for them? Name their leader. If you were an alien and you landed in so-called Palestine today, and you said, take me to your leader. Would you go to Hamas or would you go to Abbas? I know they rhyme, but other than that, who would you go to? Well, ask a Palestinian. I guess they can answer that. Or ask a liberal. They know everything. This whole thing is just so ridiculous that, again, if you scripted this in a submission to Hollywood and said, look at this story I've come up with, let's make a movie out of it, they'd say, you know, nobody would believe this. It is that. You know what? Screwed up. Much stronger word applies to the description there, however. Again, you can't make this stuff up. And, of course, nobody is. It's reality here. But a lot of people have made up stuff around the reality. And that shows you that there are people who really, really believe in things that are just detrimental to the entire human race. And I'm not talking about people who, you know, dream of being world dictators or whatever. I'm talking about fundamentals here. When you want to exterminate an entire race just because they exist, let's say you want to exterminate them just because they're on your so-called land, when the fact is it isn't really your land, it was Jordan's and it was really Israel's land for thousands of years, the archaeological evidence is there, and yet you have Arafat and other leaders like Abbas to this day that always say, even Hamas, Palestine always was and always will be ours, every inch. Really? Okay. Whatever. And of course, you know, money from the West is being used to fuel and fund this hatred. And then, of course, rockets are launched to kill innocent people. They're not involved. They're not terrorists. But of course, they're considered to be occupiers, even though they're not. They're pretty much confined to the areas that, you know, was agreed to in the partition. Yes, there are some areas that have been taken since then because of wars that have been lost. You know, look at India, very similar situation before we switch to North Korea here. Kashmir. Now, I can tell you, being in India for 7 years and as a journalist there, writing thousands of articles literally and doing hundreds of broadcasts, that if you're in India and you say disputed Kashmir, you can get in trouble. In fact, that is considered sedition. So when I reported on that issue, I complained over the fact that I don't have free press. I wasn't going to call it disputed Kashmir. I had to call it Indian Kashmir because it only belongs to India. no one else. Any other view is a crime under Indian law. Well, that's pretty much the view in Pakistan as well. If I don't say it's Pakistani Kashmir, then of course, if I say it's Indian Kashmir in Pakistan, they can kill me. And of course, the fact I'm Jewish, they just need an excuse in Pakistan to kill me. Anyway, the reason I'm mentioning that is because I have told my fine Indian friends, including my many Indian journalistic colleagues, and even my boss at the Indian newspaper, and he's a very reasonable fellow, that, there's not been this mandate that's been happening or that was promised by the UN. The idea of having both sides, you know, have this area and they're going to have a referendum up there and the results of that referendum would settle the area. Well, that hasn't happened. That promise has not been kept. On the other hand, it's not that simple. Yes, the promise has not been kept, but who can blame them? Because in Pakistan's view, they're not interested in a referendum. They want all of Kashmir or it's none. And the reason they lost it in the first place is because of what they were doing there. And of course, India was right to attack that area and seize it because of what Pakistan was trying to do, which was contain that area and essentially split off a key trade route between India and its neighboring countries. They knew what they were doing, so they weren't innocent. In fact, Pakistan has started every war against India. They've lost every war. They were so stupid, they attacked India when their air force consisted of about 22 jet fighters. And that's being generous. Again, the reason Pakistan has less land today is because every time they start a war, they keep losing more territory. I believe that's the right way to do things. Israel told Syria for decades, hey, you attacked us through the Golan Heights. We won again. We will give you back the Golan Heights if you agree to sign a peace treaty and say we have the right to exist. Now, let's avoid the issue that how dare you say whether we have the right to exist. Who are you? You're not God. You're just another, you know, tribe of people, okay? We call them nationalities, race, whatever. There's only one race, let's be clear. It's the human race, folks. It's divided up into tribes, and it really is that, okay? So I don't go for the German race in a Nazi Aryan sense. It's the human race, the Germanic tribes, the French tribes, the Italian tribes, whatever. Okay, but they're all humans. Now, what happened is Syria said, no, we're not going to give it up. In fact, you have no right to exist. We're going to keep attacking you. And Israel's like, okay, whatever, bring it on. You're not going to win. Yawn. And that's essentially what has happened. And Syria keeps getting worse ever since. In fact, take out the help from Russia and Iran. And, of course, you have no Syria today. Bashar Assad would be out of power. The Islamic State would be in power, ruling over Syria instead of being defeated, pretty much. Now, getting to the issue of North Korea, it is relevant because just as the issue with Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad being supported by Iran, they are the ones that have been behind this recent barrage of rocket launches. And again, imagine if a terrorist group was launching rockets on you every day, and yet the world condemns you when you attack them to kill them so they don't kill you. It's wrong for Israel to do that, but it's okay for everyone else to do that if the dynamic were in their backyard. That's how twisted and the hypocrisy here. I mean, again, look at the logic. Draw it on a piece of paper if you have to. And it still makes no sense. It's not going to make sense because it's not reality. But that's what we're dealing with today. And it is bizarre that we have to argue and try to convince people of things like, hey, the earth is not flat. Hello? Okay, let's get to North Korea now. What's going on there? Again, because you've got Iran starting up things, you now have things being stirred up in North Korea. First of all, you've got multiple players here. It is not as simple as North Korea being a bad country, bad boy dictator, Rocket Man. I think that's a great nickname for the guy who is the dictator of North Korea. We have been lied to, as in overpromised, underdelivered, deliberately by the White House. Again, Trump is the eternal snake oil salesman, let's be blunt. If he says, you know, that it's raining out, you better not only check the weather, you better step outside and look up in the sky yourself and do it twice. Now, what has happened is we were told that they fell in love. We fell in love. That's a quote from Trump. It's ridiculous. Well, the dictator of North Korea is returning his love by launching more rockets. Only these rockets are very different, and this is where this latest development is very disturbing. In the past, North Korea has worked with other rogue nations to develop ballistic missiles that can deliver nuclear warheads to targets as far as the United States. That is its goal, to be able to hit the United States with impunity. Now, when I say ballistic missiles, it's really intercontinental ballistic missiles. These are missiles that have a range of at least 5,000 kilometers. They're actual classes of these systems. The missile that North Korea launched this time wasn't one of those. Instead, it is a game-changer missile that is sending a very different message. It's not just, hey, we have a bigger rocket now. No, this one was much smaller, and that was the key. It was not only small, its range was limited. It flew low in the atmosphere to where it wasn't even detected by the typical anti-missile defense systems that the United States has there, and South Korea, of course, courtesy of the United States. So was this a new stealth missile? Absolutely not. But it is a knockoff of a Russian Iskander missile. And that missile is significant because it uses satellite to augment its navigation capabilities to hit its target. The Russian missiles have improved over time. It used to be, the joke was, hey, one of the reasons the Russians have the biggest bombs in the world is because their guidance systems suck. So instead of taking out the one vehicle they want to destroy, they'll just take out the whole city. At least they got the target, right? Well, yeah, that kind of approach works. But you can only do that so much before you run out of, you know, real estate. So the Russians have worked very hard to improve the accuracy of their systems. They've also worked very hard to develop anti-satellite systems to cripple the West in their technical advantage of superior navigation systems. I will tell you, I've used GPS systems all over the world. I've had the nightmare of using India's homegrown GPS system once it was launched by the West, of course, up there in space. It switched over when I was in India, and it was a nightmare. We couldn't find a lot of places that – I mean, I happened to live in an area near a military base, and that was problematic because not only were they jamming the signals but at that time, but I mean still today – but the road was not listed anywhere. And so every time I had to call Uber to get to the newspaper every day, which is, you know, what I do, the they could never find me. And I'd have to call on the phone and say, hey, and talk them in, like having to manually bring an airplane down in for a landing. And then, of course, the driver most of the time didn't speak any English. Or then, and we'll come back after the break.
They are here, and they've been here for thousands of years, making their presence known in the shadows. They might be seen by a lonely motorist on a deserted road late at night, or by a frightened and confused husband in the bedroom he is sharing with his wife. But who are they? What do they want? Why are they here? Perhaps most concerning, has the government been aware of their presence all along? The new book by Ellie Marzulli, UFO Disclosure, The 70-Year Cover-Up Exposed, delves into the world of UFOs. Can full disclosure be soon? Order now and receive a free hour and 37-minute DVD on the UFO phenomenon, UFOs Are Real. Get both the book and the DVD, a $40 value, for only $19.99. To order your book and DVD today, go to lamarzulli.net. That's LAMARZULLI.net.
Christopher Fulton is a survivor of the national security state. All he wanted to do was preserve history when he acquired a Cartier watch from the estate of President Kennedy's personal secretary. But that simple act set off a terrible chain reaction. He was pursued by the U.S. Justice Department and the FBI, thrust into the middle of the U.S. government's Assassination Records Review Board, even monitored and pursued by the Russian government. All because that Cartier watch was the missing link of evidence, a timepiece worn by JFK that fateful day in Dallas, a link resulting in Christopher being incarcerated and attacked for 9 years years because he opened a hidden chapter in history. The intriguing journey outlined fully in Christopher Fulton's memoir, The Inheritance, is available now through Trinday.com or Amazon.com. The Inheritance, Poisoned Fruit of JFK's Assassination by Christopher and Michelle Fulton is a must-read, an incredible tale of how easily our own government can overrule justice. The Inheritance, Poisoned Fruit of JFK's Assassination.
Welcome back to the fourth and final segment here on Cal's Corner Radio, here on the X Zone Broadcast Network. My name is Cal Korf. I'm your host, and the executive producer of the show is Rob McConnell. Sorry for kind of digressing there a bit, but let me finish that story real quick because it is relevant here. As I said, in India, this place, this flat that I live in, it's near a military base. They jam the signals, so every time I take Uber to the newspaper, what happens is I often have to talk to the driver because he can't find it because his GPS doesn't work, because it's off because we're using the Indian system, and of course it's not as good as the previous Western system. This is relevant today because this is what North Korea has done now, in that they've launched a missile that is a knockoff of a Russian missile that is a short to medium range missile. Although the Korean variant, the North Korean variant that they just launched, seems to have a range of around 30 kilometers. So it's a short range missile. Now, on this, there is no evidence that a satellite is guiding it. However, the fact it was not detected by conventional equipment means that this is a new threat. Now, you must remember that the U.S. has spent billions of dollars in research and development of the Army's THAAD system. This is a essentially high-altitude intercept technology, a missile, anti-missile missile, which can take out ballistic missiles being launched from North Korea, especially if they're nuclear. Unfortunately, this new short-range missile cannot be taken out by the THAAD because the THAAD has to engage at an altitude at least twice as high as the range this new short missile has. So THAAD can't even find it. By the time it would locate it, it would be too late. So the message from North Korea is very clear, that it now has a new class of weapons that it is working on to continue to be a threat to the world. And you take what's going on diplomatically, and you have a very involved chess piece. I think it is as involved and convoluted as what's going on in the Middle East. It is, in fact, the second most convoluted international chess game that I know of, second to the convolutions in the Middle East. Now, in the case of North Korea, you have several players. It's not, again, just North Korea. You have Communist China, and you have the former Communist Russia, now today called the Russian Federation. We must remember that North Korea owes its entire existence to Communist Russia during the time of Joseph Stalin. And we must remember that Stalin and Chairman Mao remain in history as history's greatest genocidal mass murderers, more than Hitler. They killed way more people than Hitler did. Even though Hitler is in the top five, he is not number one. He gets all the bad press, but Mao leads that terrible list. Stalin is second. Hitler actually is fourth behind Genghis Khan. So what happened is Stalin is blindsided essentially by a communist invasion of South Korea to try to take over the entire country. Stalin unites behind it. But he's kind of hesitant because he doesn't really control the new upstart communist regime there. And of course, there is Mao, his rival, and China and Russia at that time. They were both in competition for who was the best communist, literally. They really cared about that stuff, the true path to socialism, quote unquote. Each one claimed to have that title. But they were actually competitors, and of course, they shared borders and mutual and, of course, antagonistic interests. So what happens is the Russians decide to get behind North Korea. Finally, after the United States, in response to the rise of North Korea and the success of it, they deploy nuclear weapons, over 900 of them. I think the number was 946, as I remember. Nuclear weapons to counter any communist threat in the region. So this, of course, upsets Russia. It upsets China. This hardens both countries. And at that point, Russia makes a key decision. Let's help North Korea become a nuclear power. And of course, we're going to do it for peaceful purposes because they need energy. Wink, wink. No, they will be another front that we can open up against the West because the West had the nerve to go ahead and put nukes to stop communism from advancing in that part of the world and destroying what little existed of democracy and freedom. God forbid anybody should do that. Who cares about the human race, right? So what happens is decades go by, and eventually the Russians create a nuclear laboratory. It was still in use today, and of course it's old and creaky and has severe problems. The underground nuclear test site collapsed last year, and of course it was built by the Russians. And what happened is when Russia imploded in 1991 in the fall, and I was in Eastern Europe when that happened, and it was a very memorable time. That was the interruption I had when I'd gone undercover for the first time under Billy Meyer's UFO cult. Wrote about all of this in my book, Spacious of the Pleiades, the Billy Meyer story. All that stuff's in there. Anyway, back to North Korea. When Russia implodes, they can't afford economically to pour money into the black hole known as North Korea. It's never turned a profit for them. It's always cost them money, as did the entire antagonistic existence of the USSR itself, where over half of its GDP went for a stupid military machinery around the world that was ultimately a failure. It imploded. So as communism imploded, China starts freaking out. And they're realizing, oh, gee, this could happen to us too. So China at that point makes a key decision. They're going to take over what's going on in North Korea, because if they don't, North Korea won't exist. And they don't want Western democracy and South Korea-style government at their border. They'd rather have a buffer zone, that buffer zone known as North Korea, being a puppet that they can control, much in the same way that Putin does not want Ukraine to become part of NATO nor the EU. He doesn't want weapons stationed there nor Western soldiers, and he wants the Ukraine and Georgia and these buffer states to remain neutral or largely vassal states, not a threat to him. But of course, it's about territory, because if there is a war, people have to cross over the airspace or over that territory to hit Russia. And Russia likes a lot of room around it, even though it's a huge country itself, the largest in the world. And of course, that fact has saved its existence on more than one occasion from invaders like Hitler and, of course, Napoleon. They had to cross the vast expanses of Russia, and the Russian winter just had other ideas. So what has happened is China has pretty much led the parade in North Korea. North Korea has China as its largest trading partner. Without the support of China, North Korea would not exist today. But now, just as with the Palestinian issue, let me, as we wind up the show here in the next few minutes, let me give you the short version reality of what's going on with North Korea. Don't buy the stupid lie and ignorant myth again that North Korea is a victim of anything from the West or of Trump's games. No. Trump is in over his head on this. He is internationally, diplomatically. He can't hold his own diplomatically or intellectually against someone like Putin. Obama couldn't either. Bush couldn't either. Putin is Putin. You don't become the head of KGB operations in East Germany and a lieutenant colonel in the KGB, and then, of course, the president and prime minister of Russia, and be a stupid idiot. No. Putin has been in power long enough to where, as long as he has the ability to deliver polonium to his enemies on demand, he's going to remain a formidable obstacle to anybody, no matter who it is, for the foreseeable future. And he reflects, of course, Russia's overall government mentality. So what has happened is Putin is taking it to the West now. He is, of course, attacking it from the side, in that recently the leader of North Korea met in Moscow with Putin. They, of course, posed for their obligatory backslapping photographs. And it is now set up with this new rocket that if it wants to become more advanced, led by a satellite, All North Korea will have to do now is launch a satellite into space, which it basically more or less knows how to do, because remember, it sent up rockets into space years ago saying it wanted a space program. This is exactly the cover, if you will, that Iran and other countries use to really perfect intercontinental ballistic missile technology. If a rocket can go up 100 miles into space and stay up long enough up there, then the Earth can rotate under it, bringing the target under the rocket. Then it can fall back onto the target, hit it, and explode, using the Earth and gravity as the main means of getting something done, in much the way that the astronauts will use the gravity of the moon to slingshot around back to Earth to go ahead and save on fuel. So you don't have to have a very sophisticated guidance system. And North Korea, to be blunt about it, has made remarkable progress over the years in their guidance missile systems as well as their overall missile development technology. This is not because they have a bunch of Einsteins working for them. This is because they have had help from the Chinese and, of course, the Russians. So basically, North Korea is a proxy of these two interests, and they are used to work against the West. And we must remember that in the case of China, there is a trade war that now is escalating. And, of course, China wants to win that trade war, or at least call it off as a stalemate. They have felt the effects economically. They're going to get worse now. So what's going on is a very convoluted thing. Putin wants to take it to the West, but not directly. China wants to take it to the West using Korea as leverage. Hey, work on the trade deal. I'll help with North Korea. Trump wants no hostage taking. He just wants North Korea to disarm. He's right to do that. People are called neocons for saying that. I guess they don't care about stopping the spread of rogue nuclear weapons. That's how moral they are. So this is going to be very interesting to see how this pans out, especially with the recent seizure of a ship of illegal smuggling with North Korea, and the fact that the UN has indicted both Russia and China as being placeholders in helping Russia or North Korea break sanctions. We'll be back next week.
If you are looking for a safe, zero-calorie, natural option to the harmful artificial sweeteners on the market today, Just Like Sugar is what you're looking for. Just Like Sugar is a wonderful natural alternative for those health-conscious people who choose a calorie-restricted diet with a great, pure, sweet flavor that tastes just like sugar. Just Like Sugar is a great natural option for people suffering from diabetes and may be useful in restricted diet programs where standard sugars are not allowed and does not cause a laxative effect of some other sweeteners. Just Like Sugar comprises a perfect blend of chicory root fiber, natural calcium, natural vitamin C, and Just Like Sugar's sweetness comes from the natural flavors from the peel of the orange. Just Like Sugar is a natural alternative to harmful artificial sweeteners and will change the way that you believe all natural sweetener products taste. Just Like Sugar is available at your local Whole Foods markets, Wild Oats markets, Henry's, Sun Harvest, and many other fine natural food stores in the U.S., Canada, and worldwide.
They are here, and they've been here for thousands of years, making their presence known in the shadows. They might be seen by a lonely motorist on a deserted road late at night, or by a frightened and confused husband in the bedroom he is sharing with his wife. But who are they? What do they want? Why are they here? Perhaps most concerning, has the government been aware of their presence all along? The new book by Ellie Marzulli, UFO Disclosure, The 70-Year Cover-Up Exposed, delves into the world of UFOs. Can full disclosure be soon? Order now and receive a free hour and 37-minute DVD on the UFO phenomenon, UFOs Are Real. Get both the book and the DVD, a $40 value, for only $19.99. To order your book and DVD today, go to lamarzulli.net. That's lamarzulli.net.
You have heard of the X-Zone? Now watch it on Simul TV, plus 500 video games, live TV channels, free video on demand, worldwide, and more. Does this sound like tomorrow's television? Well, it is, but you can have it today, right now. It is Simul TV. Simul TV offers what the others only wish they could provide. 15 exclusive channels like X-Zone, Sci-Fi, and Horror. We are worldwide. No other provider offers that. 500 built-in video games. No need to have an extra expensive system. We have them included. Free video on demand. Live streaming events from around the world. Interactive online network and much more. Tomorrow's TV today. Simul TV. Sound too good to be true? Well, it's not. You can have Simul TV today. Sign up at simultv.com. Do it today.